Good evening. Welcome to the Porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. First broadcast of 2017. Broadcasting live from the Firefall Studio, Firefall Talk Radio on Spreaker.com. The only place you can get a live broadcast is on Spreaker.com/user/Firefall Talk Radio. We archive here. You can download. We also still archive on the Blog Talk Radio site for our Blog Talk audience, because we appreciate you as well. And we want to keep you in the family, the Porch family. Getting back to basics, examining the Word of God, red letter basics, the Book of Acts Church, and especially what the Lord taught. We're here to find and restore the priesthood of the believer and reestablish that world-shaking influence the early church had. We delve deeper into Scripture. We don't compromise. We don't water it down. And in the process, I believe we will find the church that the Lord intended and not the one man created. If no one told you, the church age is still in effect. It's not over. The day of Pentecost continues. The fire still falls. Porch is an outreach, Solomon's Porch, Inc. You can go to onsolomonsporch.org if you need to contact us. If you want to support us, there's a button there, or go to firefalltalkradio.com as well. Bookmark the Spreaker.com, Firefall Talk Radio, in the app that you can download to your smartphone, tablet, or device, whatever you use, and then immediately find the show. Sunday nights we do Reflections in the Dark, a show about the paranormal and the supernatural, prophecy, end times. 7 p.m., same time, same place, different show. Category. Last show we talked about 2016, called Rearview Mirror 2016, and what we thought was coming in 2017. We appreciate you, appreciate you listening. We appreciate your support for Firefall, for the Porch, for SRT. So I want to praise the Lord. If we were in the same place, I'd throw my hands up. I want to praise the Lord. I want to praise Him for my home, for my wife, for my family, my pets, my possessions, my son, my daughter-in-law, our furry kids. Each one of us have a set. I want to thank Him for you and praise Him for you. I want to praise Him for His favor and the provisions and the roof over our head and the technology to do this, for dreams and visions and encouragement. I want to praise Him for the cross and the Holy Spirit that inspires us and keeps us going and keeps us literally fired up. I just want to praise Him that we are alive at this time. We're seeing prophecy fulfilled. I praise Him for His love, His grace, and His mercy. And I praise Him for my salvation. My prayer for divine health and healing for me, for my wife, my family, for any of you that need it. There's a lot to do in the days ahead, and it's going to take supernatural empowerment and provision to get it done, and that means physically as well. Protection over me and my family and all that is mine. The enemy, over the last 28-plus years, has been an active, what's the word I'm looking for, irritant, adversary, trespasser. So I thank you for your prayers in that regard. My prayers for America is this time, as we head into a time of change, that we would turn our eyes towards Him, we would honor Him, we would listen to Him and to His word. And that means my prayers for the church to wake up, to rise up, and to do what it was called to do, to shine in this dark hour. My prayer is for the provision to get the job done in 2017, to operate efficiently in the calling that He has given, His calling in my life. It's not my calling. You don't have a calling. You have one that He's given you. My prayer is for Firefall and SRT to do what needs to be done, the equipment to do it. My prayer is that this is the time for the documentary, and so in doing so, any of the listeners out there who are in the media business, film production, anything you think you can bring to the table, send a resume and a bio to firefalltalkmedia@gmail.com or go to firefalltalkradio.com and write me. I'm beginning to build the file by faith to go forward, to make this documentary, to expose the darkness, to shine the light. Kingdom of darkness needs to be refuted by the Word, by the Holy Spirit, and the evidence of His power, by the name and the power of the only one, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And I'm believing that is going to happen this year more than ever. I believe it's needed. So I ask that you pray for that. Debbie in Washington State, my praise. How wonderful is our God, and mighty are His ways. I thank Him for everything He has done for me and those in my life. On November 17, 2016, I was used by the Holy Spirit to tell and lead my 70-plus-year-old parents to be born again. I cannot express in words how wonderful that was. On December 28, 2016, my sister, mother to a boyfriend's 4-year-old daughter, exchanged vows of matrimony. So praise God for that. These prayers are the life changers for all parties involved. They have made 2016 end on a wonderful note for me. I also offer thanks and praise for Reverend Grund and Mrs. Grund as role models to me and my kids. I think of Mrs. Grund when I need encouragement of a praying wife to never give up on the man God has given me. I'm believing and trusting God with my husband, John. I praise God for each long-distance brothers and sisters that has made a home on the porch. I thank Him for each one of you. You are a blessing to me and my family. Kim in Fort Mitchell has offered an unspoken prayer for her and Stacy in Fort Mitchell. And Stacy is having surgery tomorrow and will be going under general anesthesia. So she asks you for her prayers. Father, we praise You. We give You all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We thank You. No matter what's going on in our life, You are the great I Am. You are our Father, Abba, Papa, Daddy. We thank You for Your undying, unending love, Your mercies, Your grace, provision, protection. We thank You for the cross. We thank You for Yeshua. And we thank You, Lord, for what You did for us. We can never take the cross for granted. We can never take what You did, even during the 3 years on this earth, for granted. You endured more in 3 years than most will endure in their entire existence. And especially what You did on the cross. No one has done or will ever do what You did for us. And for that, we say thank You. We shout thank You. We ask for those that I've mentioned, Debbie and her family and Stacy and Kim and me and mine and all that are listening who are agreeing and touching in prayer. There's a struggle going on. There's a war in the spirit. We need Your help. We need the fire. We need the strength. We need encouragement. So, Holy Spirit, I'm asking You to inspire the brothers and sisters and the family of the porch to pray for one another. Wake them up in the middle of the night if you have to. And if they won't turn off the technology, turn it off for them. Because we need to come together, Lord. We need the provision. We need Your favor. We need the effective door of ministry opened. We ask for permission and Your provision to go set the captives free, to lay hands on the sick and they will recover, to go rescue the sheep that have wandered away and those that are struggling and starving to death because they are in the flocks of worthless shepherds, to show them the love and the compassion that they need to find their way to You, the great shepherd. So right now, so we can receive Your word, we take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Messiah. We block out all the cares of the world, all the things of the demonic, all the things that would interfere with the knowledge of El Elyon, God Most High, our Father. We ask for the Word to come alive. Holy Spirit, we ask for You to empower the Word we want to plug into You right now. Heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. We ask You to bless this technology, bless my lips and my words, Lord, let Your Spirit just explode out of me and envelop me from above. But most of all, I just want to keep telling you how much we love you, Lord. There aren't enough words. There's nothing to say that puts it into proper perspective. So I hope, and I know, and I believe that you can feel it and you can see it in our hearts. And I just pray all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. Lessons are proprietary information, except where noted the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information and the matter presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. Open your Bibles, and I know some of you use apps and use digital Bibles, but I would really prefer and hope that you have books. If you don't have one, can't afford one, you let me know. I will get you one. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, Adonai Yeshua HaMashiach, and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind, or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Messiah had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, capital H, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Hasatan, Satan, the adversary, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, today there's a resurgence of an old teaching called preterism. Preterism comes from the Latin word praeterism, which means past, already gone by. The basic teaching of preterism is that the Great Tribulation already happened, principally around AD 70, when Jerusalem was destroyed. And those who hold to this teaching are known as preterists. And there's a subgroup within the preterists who are partial or moderate preterists. They get different membership cards. This group sees part of the Olivet Discourse, Yeshua's teaching on the end times, as partially fulfilled in 70 AD, but other parts will yet to be fulfilled at the Parousia, the second arrival of Messiah. There have been repeated efforts to establish preterism as historically sound and biblical, but the clear warning of Paul there in 2 Thessalonians 2 is that it's heresy and it's a false teaching. An example of a moderate or partial preterist is evangelist and teacher R.C. Sproul. The New Living Translation of verses 9 through 12, this man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit power and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. And they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. The Amplified takes it a little further, and I'm pounding this home here. Yes, I am. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, is through the activity and the working of Satan, and will be attended by great power with all sorts of pretended miracles, signs, and delusive marvels, all of them lying wonders, and by unlimited seduction to evil, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, going to perdition, because they did not welcome the truth, capital T, but refused to love it that they might be saved. Therefore God sends upon them a misleading influence, a working of error, and a strong delusion to make them believe what is false, in order that they may be judged and condemned who do not believe in, who refuse to adhere to, trust in, rely on the truth, but instead took pleasure in unrighteousness. A strong delusion. Title of this teaching is Delusion. What's the definition of delusion? It's the act of deluding or the state of being deluded. Something that is falsely or delusively believed or propagated. It's a persistent, false, psychotic belief regarding the self or persons or objects outside the self that is maintained despite indisputable evidence to the contrary. The abnormal state marked by such beliefs. Delusion implies an inability to distinguish between what is real and what only seems to be real, and often is the result of a disordered, confused state of mind. But what brings about this disordered mind? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. I believe the he is the Holy Spirit, and the reason he's taken out is because the church is removed. And if the church is not here, his function, he was sent here from the throne room, proceeding from the Father, emanating from the Father, to be imparted upon, endued into the church. If the church is not here, then he goes back to his Old Testament pattern of external manifestations briefly upon people for the moment for a purpose, which means he goes back to the throne room. Once he's taken out of the way, there's nothing to restrain the lawless one. Amplified version of that, 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of lawlessness, the hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority, is already at work in the world. It is restrained only until he who restrains it is taken out of the way. Iniquity is unrighteousness. And that word iniquity, it occurs frequently in the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms, about 70 times. Iniquity, when David says the iniquity that is in me, it's inbred sin. Matthew 7:23, red letters, Lord speaking, then I will declare to them, these are that come to him and say, Lord, 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 Lord. They might say the other things too if they stutter, but they'll say, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, you who practice iniquity. Of course, he goes on to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. What a moment to have somebody who has done all the things, moved in the gifts, maybe they've even evangelized, but they were never born again because there was a part of their life that clearly indicated that there was iniquity, inbred sin that they refused to give up, that they were deceived, yet they did all those things, and he looks at them and says, I never knew you. Again, red letters, Matthew 13:41, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. Well, of course, he has to clarify that they're his angels because there's another set of angels out there. Matthew 24:12, again, red letters, and because lawlessness will abound, because iniquity will abound, because unrighteousness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Romans 6:19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? 1 John 3:4, whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And John kind of wraps it up right there. Gee, do you think that there is an importance to the topic of lawlessness? Do you think it's important about sin and righteousness and all the things that I just read? Well, guess what? There's a cure. It's called the cross. Romans 4:7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Hebrews 10:17, and then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Thrown into the sea of forgetfulness, put under the blood, he can't see them. Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Gee, there's another point that the Lord keeps repeating over and over, and I know he doesn't stutter, and I know he doesn't forget what he just said. He wants us to remember that, yes, lawlessness, iniquity is inbred in us because we were born in sin. But the cross, the blood, the sacrifice of Yeshua, you being born again, removes all of that. But see, the man of sin, mentioned in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, does not have that opportunity. He was created supernaturally. He was spoken into existence. He cannot be redeemed. And those that were created like him, that rebelled, cannot be redeemed. And those that follow him, that refuse to accept the cross, that refuse to believe the truth, that have believed the lie, and who live that way until the end, will be judged along with him. The man of sin has contempt for divine law. It's not that he just stands against the existence of God, which he does. He wants to be seen as God. But by his very actions, he is in contempt of God's laws. Now, what is the source of this delusion? Where do we find it? Well, Old Testament, 2 Zechariah 10:2. For the idols speak delusion. The diviners envision lies and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, the people wend their way like sheep. They're in trouble because there is no shepherd. Gee, I wonder if Zechariah was prophesying about Christian television. That word in verse 2, idols, in the Hebrew, is teraphim, both singular and plural. The word has been borrowed from the Hittite Hurrian word tarpus, which in West Semitic assumes the basic form tarpi, in case you're taking notes or you're ever on Final Jeopardy. That's just where my brain goes. The word teraphim, its basic meaning is spirit or demon. So basically, Zechariah says, spirits, demons, speak delusion. They are the source of delusion. Every delusional teaching and false teaching is therefore demonic. Biblical Hebrew confirms that word over 15 times because it's used in regards to divination and magic. Hey, I bet you didn't know there was divination and magic in what are called church services today. Interesting. By the way, if you weren't listening in 2017, I'm going a little off-road here, so put it, you know, get your off-road gear going, put, you know, get it ready. One of the things I said about 2017 on Reflections in the Dark will apply to the porch. Getting back to basics, getting back to what the porch was about, getting back to who I was designed to be and am, I will be pointing out these errors a lot more than I ever did in the past. I know some of you went, huh? You've been pointing them out pretty good. Well, even more so, I'm going to shine the light now directly onto the teaching and the person teaching it. We don't have time to play games. The delusion is too strong, and I care about you too much to withhold my tongue. So, these idols, these teraphim, they were used in rituals of necromancy, which, if you follow us on Reflections of the Dark, means the conjuring up of the spirits of the dead, or paranormal TV. Yeah, because that's what the whole paranormal genre does, which is why I don't like SRT being labeled as such, because that, even though that's anything outside of normal is paranormal, we don't conjure up the dead. We deal with those things. We are the sheepdogs of the great shepherd. We chase things down. We protect the flock. And every now and then, the great shepherd, the master, says, go get them, boys. And we go get them. So the teraphim are the influence behind these false teachings. Now, we know that necromancy and anything occult like that is forbidden. Communication with the dead is forbidden. And that means in 2017, communicating with your dead parents, your dead aunt, uncle, grandmother, is forbidden. There are entire denominations, one of which is one of the biggest in the world, that says it's okay for you to pray for the dead. That they'll even communicate with you. They'll come to you in your dreams. Sorry, wrong answer. It's forbidden. And there's a reason that it's forbidden. It's because once you begin to do that, you create a connection, an energy connection. These things hook themselves to you, and the next thing you know, your mind is filled with delusion. And if you want to know where it says don't do this, Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 and 11, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. So when you turn on these reality shows and you see a minister or a priest or somebody there who says, I'm here to help you, but they bring a medium with them, or they do witchcraft, or they bring in pagan practices, you can look at the TV screen, if you're like me and you talk to it, and say, you're a liar. You don't know the living God. You don't know Yeshua. You don't know Jesus, because his father and he who are one said that's forbidden, Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 and 11. Let's stop being fooled. Let's stop promoting people who are part of the delusion and who are delusional. And the reason this happens within the church, and the reason we become deluded, is because the lack of shepherds, the lack of spiritual leadership, who in love will correct the flock, correct the teaching, and then go get those ones who were deceived and who've been stolen, whose lives have been destroyed. Because the words that come out of these false teachers, shepherds, pastors, preachers, mouths are vain. They're selling their own words. They're selling their own teachings. Their names are on their ministries. They have divined lies. They've been given revelation and insights and new thoughts, even though Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that's been has already been done, that are lies. They've given you false dreams and false prophecies that are the pigs in the blanket. They're a lie with a smaller amount of truth. And they offer vain comfort. They don't offer any comfort at all, in my opinion. These items, these teraphim, and the teachings and the words that come from them are profane. And they inspired the children of Israel to unrighteousness. Now, what is unrighteousness? It is moral wrongfulness of character, life, or actions. See, righteousness is the character of God. Unrighteousness is the polar opposite, makes you uncharacteristic of God. Now, Paul says this deception will come because, as it says in verse 2, I'm giving the Amplified, by unlimited seduction to evil, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, going to perdition, because they did not welcome the truth, but refused to love it that they might be saved. Now, I would rather go to paradise than perdition. I don't know about you. I think the accommodations in paradise are much better than perdition. I think it's 5-star rating as opposed to 1. And for this reason, he says, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. He's going to send them that misleading influence, the working of error, and that strong delusion to make them believe what is false. And as I sat here working on this teaching today, I thought, wow, that sounds really harsh. Don't you love them, Lord? Don't you want them to come? Well, of course he does. We know that he wants everyone to be saved. He desires everyone to be saved. Then why do you send a strong delusion to those that refuse? And there's the answer. They have no desire to be saved. They don't want to be saved. There's nothing in their heart. They are reprobate. They're unsavable. They're beyond salvation. So what he does, like a child, who all they want is candy. I want candy for breakfast, candy for dinner, candy for supper, and I don't want to eat anything else, and I'm not going to eat anything else. Okay, I'm going to let you do that. And of course, we know what will happen. 2 things, that child will become obese, but more than likely, given that freedom, a child will become sick. And if you've never seen a child who's eaten too much candy, too much cake, and too much junk, get sick. It's not pretty. Well, guess what? Perdition's not pretty. So he sends this to them. David Wilkinson says, the apostle is saying, those who refuse to obey or respect God's word will fall under a powerful delusion. At first, they will wink at their sin. Wink, wink. They'll justify it. Oh, it's okay. His grace will cover it. But soon, they'll be actively seeking out a message of easy grace. I added the wink, wink, and all the other stuff. David Wilkinson doesn't do that. They'll seek out a message of easy grace. In fact, they will invent a grace that is far beyond what God intended. His grace never leads to license and always leads to repentance. Well, David, what you're talking about is cheap grace. That grace that's in the church, or what called the church right now, where you have sexually perverse people up on stage leading praise and worship, maybe even teaching. And I'm not talking about any one sexual perversion. I'm talking about all of them. I'm talking about people that have no business teaching the gospel to a dog. Matter of fact, I would get that dog out of there as well. We have a cheap grace that says, oh, God did it all on the cross and there is no hell, so I have nothing to worry about. Eat, drink, and be merry. We're living in those times. The spirit of lawlessness is rampant. It's a rash on the body. It's the very power behind legislation that has banned God from our society. But see, I don't really have a problem with that legislation. I used to get caught up in all that until finally one day the Lord said, you know, I really don't need you to defend me. I'm pretty good at doing it myself. Well, Lord, I have a zeal for you and I love you and all that other stuff. Well, why are you worried about a world that rejects me? Isn't that what it's going to do? Yes, sir. I don't care about the laws. I care about my law and I care about my children. And then I started to think about it. We want to ban abortion, which is the killing of babies, and I'm against. But I think the best way to get rid of abortion is to make people not want to do it. And to do that, we need to change people, not change the laws. This is just my take now. But the same society that has banished God from everything, the same spirit that HaSatan, Satan, used to deceive Eve when he implied that God won't punish you for disobeying. You can eat the fruit. You won't have to pay for it. The same world that rejects my Lord, that mocks him, that does all those things, that's lawlessness. That's the spirit of lawlessness. That's the word of teraphim, the word of demons, the word of fallen angels. But you know what? It's to be expected because I live in a fallen world. You and I live in a fallen world. Proverbs 14:9-12 kind of explains it. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. A man, a woman, they can convince themselves that their besetting sin, their false religion, their selfish ways are right, but they're deluded because if it's not God's way, there's only one other way that it goes. See, that was the light bulb moment I had before I got saved when Pastor Shelley just looked at me and said, hey, you tell me you're doing all these things and I believe you. But you say you're not serving the devil and I say you are because you're not serving God. And that simple logic broke through and hit me. We're living in a time of delusion. And Bible thumping and hitting people over the head with the Bible, both verbally and literally, is not going to change that delusion, because I was deluded. I thought I was a good person. I thought my gifts had come from God. I thought all these holy rollers were nuts. And then I found out I was the one that was wrong. See, that's how I know somebody's been born again. Because they've been broken by their own wretchedness. They see themselves with different eyes. I trusted in my knowledge. I trusted in my teaching. I trusted in these ancestral abilities that had been passed down through multiple generations. Why? Because I had deluded myself. I had believed a lie. I'd persuaded myself that my particular sin of choice, my false beliefs, my selfish desires were okay. They weren't okay. And thankfully, he loved me enough to help me see that. Philippians 3, verses 4 through 7, Paul says this: though I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews concerning the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what these things were to me, these I have counted loss for Messiah. The honor and the respect, he's saying, that I held among the Jews for my teachings, for my blood lineage, for my persecution of this false messianic religion, of all of these people, as well as my future with them, the student of Gamaliel, I'm sure Paul was groomed for great things. When his eyes were opened and the delusion came off his mind, he considered them worthless and counted them as loss for Messiah. And that word loss in the Greek means damage or detriment, a loss as applied to business or trade, like the voluntary incurring of a loss, like you cast your stuff overboard in case your ship is sinking. I mean, you voluntarily throw it out, as we saw in Paul, with Paul in Acts 27. Paul was saying, I was deluded. I was delusional. I killed people. I stood there and watched Stephen die. I held the clothes of the men who stoned him to death. He could have gone on and said, I saw the rocks bounce off his head and his face and his body. I saw the skin split. I saw the blood spurt, and I thought I was right. I was zealous for a God I didn't even know. And that's why when I meet legalistic people, especially messianic believers, who are so in love with the law that they don't understand grace, they don't understand the cross, I know they're not born again. Because if they were, they would see the worthlessness of that position. 1 Timothy 1:13, Paul says, I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He blasphemed Messiah. He persecuted Christians. He killed the saints. But see, he was ignorant of the gospel. He didn't believe in Messiah, and because of all that, he considered himself chief of all sinners. Paul was deluded by his choices and his decisions. You see, because before he trusted in Yeshua as Messiah, before he made him Lord of his life, he was a violent man acting out of personal pride. That's why I don't argue with legalistic people. They just want to be right. Nothing you're going to say is going to get through to them. but he obtained mercy. Even after the terrible things he did, God offered him salvation with open arms, as he does to all people. Maybe you're listening to this. Maybe somebody gave this to you. Maybe somebody's convinced you to listen to this with them. His arms are open to you, no matter what you've done, and offers you salvation. 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16, there's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me, first Jesus the Messiah, might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. That's the heart of the gospel right there. Messiah came into the world to save sinners. And the world refers to all humanity. You know that word salvation, that word save, are you saved? What I'm asking is, have you been delivered? Have you been rescued? See, Messiah came to die for the sins of humanity so that we could be reconciled to our Father, so that we could no longer be deluded by the words of the serpent, the words of Hasatan, the words of the fallen, the words of the teraphim. But we've got to get to that place like Paul did and said, hey, I'm blind, naked, wretched, and worthless. I'm lost. See, for me to kneel at that cross on that Sunday on October 9th, 1988, and I always say the date because it is a memorial, I realized I was wretched. I was a prideful man, even in my sin, even in my demonic nature. I knelt down at that altar, realizing I had messed it all up. The only thing I wanted in my life was to be a husband and a father, to be the man that my father wasn't, and I became that man, my father. But then I had a heavenly father, and says, nope, you're going to be like me. But to do that, he had to show me to the foot of the cross, where I had to realize how wretched I was. I realized I was worthless so that he could give me his worth. See, if you're having problems with self-worth, if you're having problems with self-image, what you're really having a problem with is the image that he wanted to give you of him. You know what this really strikes people that got saved really young? Sons and daughters of preachers, people that got saved in church, been in church every hour of every day, seven times a week, and three times on Sunday. They make a decision based out of obligation. They make a mental decision. They might have made an emotional decision, but many of them never make the heartfelt, born-again, mind, mouth, brain decision until later on in their life. And I know I've met a lot of PKs. Preacher's kids. See, the degradation of sin and the delusion of sinfulness is common and chronic in the human nature. And because of this, Yeshua said, I'm going to take your place. I'm going to pay this debt so you can be free. And when Paul says, those who believe on him, over 185 times in the New Testament, the soul, the only absolute condition for salvation is belief. Having faith or trusting in Jesus as Messiah. The gospel, the good news is Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, died for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. And those who place their trust in him for salvation will be saved. That's it. Any other condition for salvation is works. Pure and simple. And that is a delusion. Romans 11:6, and if by grace, then it's no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace, which is unmerited favor. But if it is of works, it's no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. You can't work your way into heaven. You can't work your way into salvation. I know people personally that believe their good deeds and their good works will get them in because that's what they've been taught. It came from old teachings. It came from false teachings. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus as Messiah, even we have believed in Messiah Yeshua, that we might be justified by faith in Messiah, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Listen to me. The law is not going to justify your flesh because you can never live up to it. The only one who could was Yeshua, and he did. And anything else is a false teacher. See, false teaching leads to false knowledge. 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Titus 1:16, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. The Amplified of Titus 1:16 is they profess to know God, to recognize, perceive, and be acquainted with him, but deny and disown and renounce him by what they do. They are detestable and loathsome, unbelieving and disobedient and disloyal and rebellious. They are unfit and worthless for good work, deed, or enterprise of any kind. Yet they put people like that in pulpits. They give people like that titles. They give them a flock. They put them in charge of major congregations. Sometimes those congregations grow over to thousands. Then they get put on TV. And then people send those people a lot of money. And they fly planes, and they live in mansions, and they live wonderful lives wearing $1,000 suits. They're worthless. They're detestable. They're false. They are deluded. See, the ungodly way that they live is connected to false teaching. False teaching is what? It is a delusion. Now, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with this delusion? The only way to do that is through truth. The only way to do that is through faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible, which is the literal definition of quantum physics. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, though he being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Noah was forewarned by God concerning the events which there was no visible sign of. But he took heed and diligently and reverently constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family. By this, his faith, which relied on God, he passed judgment and sentence on the world's unbelief, and became an heir and possessor of righteousness. That relation of being right, which God puts into a person who has faith. The judgment that was coming in Noah's time, just as the judgment that's coming now, it's not delayed, it's just distant. And in Noah's time, four generations would have passed away. Youth would have grown up to manhood. Manhood would have passed on to old age. But there were still no signs of the coming. But his faith held on. 120 years, believing, unwavering in what he did. And believed it would be accomplished. It's an illustration of the faith that we need to have today. If God's in it, if he said it, if it was his plan, it will come to pass in his timing. But it will come to pass. See, we need to maintain that confidence. We need to stop being deluded by the fast food, I want it now, prosperity gospel that says you can name it and you can claim it. Now buy this DVD for $24.95. We need to maintain. We need to maintain the confidence that he's as good as his word. Regardless of the scoffers, regardless of the arguments of philosophy and all the people that will naysay, the naysayers, God's truth will be revealed. So we need to look for the promise. We need to expect paradise. We need to expect him. We shouldn't doubt that there's a time that we're going to receive glorified bodies and become eternal with him. No sin, no sorrow. All the conflicts and trials of this life will be gone. And total deliverance will have come. But there's a world out there that won't believe. They've been deluded by the lie. They've been tempted to doubt that. Oh, he's not coming. You really believe that second coming stuff, that rapture stuff? Oh, that already happened. When Jerusalem burnt down in 70 AD, don't you see it? It matches what he said. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we got to believe. We have to let go of the delusion. We got to let go of the deceitful promises and the lies and the sin that so easily ensnares us, wraps itself around our feet so we stumble. Sin is a liar. It will promise to perform. It will assure us pleasure that will never happen, that will never impart. It will lead us to places that we were told would be great and will be horrible. We will be deluded. We will be slaves. And we will be miserable. It puts on pretenses. It gives itself a name of virtue. It will excuse our excesses and the things that we do. But the fact is, it never will. See, sin will never tell you the truth. It'll never tell you the outcome. Have you seen those smoking PSAs on television, people that have lung cancer or dying or they've lost limbs? I thought about that today. Sin deceives and deludes and blinds, just like smoking did for those people. They never thought that they'd be in that condition, rotting corpses while still walking on this earth. We need to become alive. We need to open our minds. We need to put down everything that holds us back. We need to look at God and stop blaming him and saying, Lord, I'm the problem. Tell me what's wrong. Father, in the name of Yeshua, tell me what's wrong. Show me where the crack is in the door. How did the enemy get in? Show me the false teachings in my life. Show me the areas where I've been deluded by the false teachings and the false prophets and the worthless shepherds. Father, in the name of Yeshua, shine the light of truth on me. Let me be like Messiah. Let me be renewed in my mind, my heart, my soul, and my spirit. Let the old things be pushed away and all things become new in me. Father, I want to serve you with all my heart, my soul, and my spirit. I want to serve you with everything I have. I don't want to walk in darkness anymore. I don't want to be this way anymore. I don't want to stumble. I don't want to trip over those false idols and those things I've acquired in my life, those things you never wanted me to have. Renew my thoughts, renew my attitudes, change me. Shine your light on me. I resolve, Father, to not be deluded anymore. See, that's my prayer for you, and in case you didn't know it, I was just praying over you. I was just praying with you. I was praying for me, too. And because I believe, I say amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.